The last time we talked, we had left off with your family had just moved to the LA area, and you had said that you moved to Redondo Beach.
Yeah. We had a small apartment. Well, it was like one of these small apartments over a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we had a living room that had a wall bed in it, and there was a couch that opened up into a bed, and that was in the corner. And we had a kitchen that was big enough to eat in. And let's see, there was a dressing room, bathroom, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we lived there, and my father was stationed in San Pedro, the port of embarkation.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we were there about a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it hard to find housing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went down before we did. It seemed to me he left September, October, and I was already in my fall quarter at Seattle University, and so we waited till that was over, and so he had all that time to, you know, to look around and find something.
Mm-hmm.
And we left about 2 days before Christmas to drive down. Let's see, where were we? It was Seattle. Anyway, we left about 2 days before Christmas to drive down and meet, you know, to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we got there sort of late at night, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that? Was that 40?
That was 40, yeah, the last part of 43.
43.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I can remember the years between 42 and 43. So it was that toward the end of 43. And how did, you'd mentioned that you and your mother both decided to go out. Was that at the same time to look for work?
Yeah. She decided that I should be with her. And, you know, instead of sitting there twiddling her thumbs in this apartment, she decided that we would go to work together. And so I don't remember ever applying at any other place. It was just at this little small aircraft company.
Mm-hmm.
And it weren't that many people there. But they made all the parts. It was for a C-47, if I remember right. And they all went to Douglas. So it would be like a little subsidiary. We made, they made a lot of other machine parts. And she was in the main building, and I was just in an outside building, and it was a very long, you know, the metal sides and all this sort of thing. And then we had escape hatches, we had wing flaps. There was the only two things that were made in that long building, because the wing flaps were all along just one side. They started from the very beginning and just went right down to final completion down at the very end.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering, I know your mother had worked before in Seattle.
Yeah.
How did your father react to her going back to work? Do you remember?
Didn't bother him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He had no objection.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that it was, oh, that's great that, you know, the two of us are going to go together.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never any objections on his part.
Uh-huh. How did you feel about the idea of doing that most of the time?
It was something to do.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know anyone, and I didn't see any way of ever getting acquainted, because when we went down, I had just turned 17, so the kids that I would get acquainted with would probably be high school kids. But I was already out, so there was no way of me getting acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, well, it would be something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started, they had a training class for about a week where they would teach you to use drills and rivet guns and this sort of thing, and then they would place you in some part of the plant.
Uh-huh.
And then I could, you know, then my skill could be used in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the name of the company that you...
Dokes.
Dokes.
D-O-A-K-S.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they exist anymore.
How did you... do you remember how you heard about them hiring? Or?
No.
Mm-hmm.
This was sort of through my mother. I think she probably saw the ad. I think she just sort of had a notion one day, come on, we're going to go apply for a job, and away we went.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she ever thought about that company. I think it just must have been through an advertisement, because it was, we got there just before Christmas, and I think it was about middle part of January we started to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we worked up until the time we left the place.
Mm-hmm. And did, you both went in to San, was there, the plant was located in Los Angeles? Or?
It was located in Torrance.
In Torrance?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And do you know about where in Torrance? Or?
No, because I can vaguely remember when she and I would go to work in the morning, it wasn't that long a drive. It just wasn't that very, you know, wasn't very far from home. And it's, gosh, it was like down some side street. I remember the buildings weren't very impressive. It was just like in a manufacturing area, and the corrugated metal sides. And I remember we went into the parking lot, and I don't know. I never questioned, well, how did you know to go to this particular place? Just, well, here we are. Oh, okay. And I took it for granted. Mm-hmm. And so that was it.
Uh-huh. Now, did you had the car, the family car then was how you traveled out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We had to, and of course, we had to have a gas allowance, so there was no problem. We had no problem getting gas because mm-hmm. we were defense work and very important to our nation.
Uh-huh. Now, okay, so you drove out there and they had an employment office right on
yeah.
the premises
yes.
of the plant.
Yeah.
Do you remember much about the hiring process?
Just those long forms you had to fill out. I think they gave you some slight, well, some small physical, and otherwise it wasn't much more than that.
Were there many people applying there that day?
I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
Probably were.
Uh-huh. What were your initial kinds of expectations?
On a job?
About what this would be like. Say, before you went in to work there, or just say after having applied, first of all, may I should ask you, did they hire you immediately? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It seemed like we fill out the form, and okay, you start next Monday. It was just, you know, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little, oh boy, what am I getting into? Sort of scared a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason or other, they put my mother right to work, and I can't remember if she already knew how to run a drill press or what, but she just seemed she just went right off and started in. For myself, they, you know, gave me training. They told me a little bit about the company policy, and I remember there was one little small area inside that big plant that was like a classroom, and you had, you know, drills and pieces of aluminum and rivets and all that sort of thing, and they would tell you what type of thing they wanted you to work on, and you know, like they wanted you to drill so many holes in so many directions, and you know, so far apart. And the small group I was with, they were very congenial and enjoyed them. But I can't remember, say, like two of us out of that class going to the same department, because that was in the bigger building, and I don't remember what all that big building, you know, what all it covered. I was put out on the wing flaps, and that was in the smaller building, sort of. I had to walk through the main building, and we went way out and back again.
Mm-hmm. Now, were the training area, was that mainly women that were training?
I can remember a few men in there, too, mm-hmm. but they would be like young kids. It would be like someone who just got out of high school, maybe just waiting to be called up in the draft.
Uh-huh.
But I'd say it was mostly women in that.
Uh-huh. And how long did they have you?
They had me for a week, I think, in that school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just said, okay, time's up, transfer now, and I was out on my own.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you any other, before, say, when you were being hired, did they talk to you at all about what your pay would be or where you would be working in the plant or anything?
No, they didn't tell me where. They told me I'd probably start out about, what was it? Me, I worked up to 75 cents an hour, which was supposed to be just really great at that time. And I know I didn't start out at that, because I remember I got raises and it seemed like they came through pretty fast. And they must have explained to me, you know, what my starting pay would be.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, when I think back at that, not only see how anybody could have lived on it.
Yeah. Prices were lower.
Yes, they must have been. Oh.
Yeah. So did, you had about a week of training. Those were different machines than you had worked with before in the
yeah.
shop class.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you nervous at all about working with the machinery?
I was to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of, well, you get used to it, and then, tell me how this thing works, and okay, then you can go ahead. So you get over that initial hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to be fun. You have a familiarity with it, and then also being young, you know, of course I like to talk and so forth. That was my one problem, is that shut up and go to work and get these things turned out.
Uh-huh.
And, there was a tool crib. You'd have to check things out. Only we had to wear our hair in a certain way. that had, they had hats for us that, well, it had a brim on it so that in case you were near machinery, that it, the brim would hit the machine first and kind of protect you. Mm-hmm. And then if you had long hair, it was in this thing they used to call the snood. They had that net thing in the back. Mm-hmm. I used to think I looked dopey in that, and I hated to wear it, but then that's the female point of view.
Did they require other kinds of clothing?
Yeah, you had to wear either pants or overalls. And they used to have a one-piece suit, too, that you could buy from the company. I remember that. So you had a choice of a couple things. You could wear slacks and a blouse, and maybe a work apron, or you could wear this one-piece thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had you ever worn slacks before?
Yeah, maybe not that much.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel okay about wearing them?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I thought that was great, gee whiz, because I felt like pants were just becoming, you know, fashionable for women. It was still kind of a slow thing. And I felt like, well, when I wore pants, it made me look like I was different. And I was working someplace and nobody else was, and people would look at me.
That's great. Did you have to have special safety shoes? Or?
Yeah, you couldn't wear, actually you couldn't wear sandals, but you had to wear something that was sensible and actually protect your foot in case you dropped anything on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was safety glasses.
Mm-hmm. So, now they changed you, and then they said, they trained you through all this, and then they said, you're going to work over on, they put you on the wing flaps?
Yep.
Uh-huh. And when you did, what was the, you had mentioned it before, there was a long row of
Yeah, there was just, right.
Was it just one operation on each of them, and people moved, or did they move?
They moved the whole thing. They would start at the beginning. They would start to put the framework together,
mm-hmm.
and maybe each table would do a certain, you know, function,
mm-hmm.
and then they would move to the next table. And you might have maybe about six tables, and they had a big rack that when the frames got to a certain position, then they could be stood up on end. So when the next operation was ready, they could just pull them out of that rack and then go ahead. And then, it, like I said, it went further down. And let's see, I worked at the beginning to where you'd start to put the framework together. And then finally I got down, well, what I thought was like this first section. It was like what, the first section I thought broke off by having this rack where they all stood on end. And I worked on the other side of that, so I felt like, well, I was more in an intermediate position because
uh-huh.
they had this, the channel that would go down the length of the wing flap, and in the channel every so often, there would be these heavy aluminum pieces that would go in that had a hole in it so that the lines that control that flap from moving up and down, you know, when the pilot's flying,
mm-hmm.
that the wires would go through that. And so my job was to put those things in there and rivet them in there, make sure that everything was all right.
These aluminum...
Yeah, these little aluminum... You know, just
sort of like the casing or whatever.
Yeah,
for the
yeah.
Wires.
It just was a strengthening thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one that would be doing that. So I felt like, well, I had a little more responsibility. I would be the only one that'd be working on it. And I learned how to, well, okay, put them in, and maybe once in a while one would crack. Then I learned how to drill out that particular size rivet and then put in a bigger one to cover up that crack.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do sort of my own repair work, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take it off of my table, and I would go stack them up in another rack. And then that's when they would go further down, and then they would put, you know, the aluminum sheeting on it, and they called them skins at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a, I think the line was even longer past me, but I felt like I had a very important position that because of that one particular operation, I'd be the only one that would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I felt like I really had something.
Yeah. It was sort of in the general area where you were working, about how many people were there?
Oh, there must have been 100 in there, because we had, like, wing flaps on one side, and there was quite a few was on that side. And then on the other side, they did this escape hatch door. And then there was a couple of other operations, but they seemed like they were just smaller parts that, to me, didn't look like anything. It would be like, maybe making the armrest for seats. It didn't look like much until you got it on the actual frame. So there would be one section, there would be maybe about three sections on across from us that would be working on things.
Mm-hmm.
The escape hatch was the only thing that looked like, well, it made sense
mm-hmm.
when you saw the finished product. The rest of them just, I don't know, turning out boxes of things and
So there was never actually like a finished plane there at Dokes. You just were like a feeder plant for Douglas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did everyone sort of knew then that's what all these parts were going over to Douglas?
Or? Yeah. Uh-huh. Everybody knew that's, you know, the orders came in, it was just, we worked just for them and nobody else, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Now, say on that first day out of training, did you go with a group of people over to work in the assembly for the wings flap, or did...
No, I think I was the only one that went in that area. There might have been another person that came with me, but it was like we got to that door, and then, okay, I went here, and the other person went someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Were you introduced to someone then at that point who was your supervisor?
Yeah, I think I had a lead man. I can just remember his first name. His name was Art, because he would stand off in the corner and watch me every once in a while, because, like I said, I talked a lot. And I'd be talking to someone, all of a sudden look up, and there he'd be standing there with his arms folded watching me, and I'd, oh, no, I got caught talking again. You know, and it bothered me, but still it didn't bother me, because I thought, I'm talking, but my hands are going also. I'm still putting something together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put me off into that one table where I did those channels,
mm-hmm.
that was a little more difficult to talk to anyone, because then I would have to walk away from that table to go talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really would have to watch it then. So I was by myself, and I didn't have any choice in that. I had to work.
Uh-huh. Now, in terms of showing you the first, was Art over about how many people worked?
He must have had a good 25 or 30 girls at least.
Uh-huh. And it was all women in that area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the first thing you did, you said, was assembling the frame?
Yeah.
Of that? Was that riveting things also?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then did they explain why they moved you up to this intermediate?
No, it was kind of like a promotion. He just,
uh-huh.
I guess he thought my work was good enough anyway that I could be moved off onto that.
Uh-huh.
Because he kept a certain group of women back here where they would be putting, you know, just getting that initial frame started.
Uh-huh.
And now, they would be working together, and they could talk more. And I don't think he moved me over on that other table just from the idea that he'd get me to shut up, because there was others that talked also. And if that was it, well, then he could have moved one of those just as well.
Yeah.
I just think I just think it was one of those things that I moved over there.
Uh-huh. Now, did he show you how to do the work when you first started working, or did someone else?
I think someone else did.
Uh-huh. Another woman?
Yeah, there was another woman that did that, and then I worked with her for a little while, and then she moved off and some, you know, further over. And so that if I would have a problem, I could always say, well, whatever her name was, okay, now what do I do in a case like this? But so she, you know, she was there for me to call on,
mm-hmm.
but pretty soon I was just doing the whole thing, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm. And were most of the women that were working there older than you, or your same age? Or?
I think there was all age groups, because I remember there was an example as far as age goes, there was one girl that was about my same age, and then there'd be also some a little bit older, and then, there was another woman in her 50s that would always show me pictures of her son,
mm-hmm.
that he was in the Navy, and, oh, he's going to come home pretty soon, and I want you to meet my son. So, like I said, we had all age groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the men that were in there, too, by the way, there were some that were crippled. Like, there was one fellow that walked with a limp, and he was a welder. So we had... Okay, you know, sampling of men through there, too.
Mm-hmm. Were there minority workers at the plant?
I can remember a couple black women. And it seems to me I can remember a couple Mexican women. But there wasn't any segregation or anything. Just, you know, that we were just all people. We were all working together, and
mm-hmm.
there was never any problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more or less working for that same paycheck, the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the war, and everybody was pitching in, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any problem.
So they didn't seem to be treated differently than others?
Nope. Mm-hmm. They were just people. They were just workers the same as, you know, the rest of us were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Had you ever been around black or Mexican women before?
Yeah. When we lived in the South, we were around black people. And then that was kind of a different experience, because I had to go to a segregated high school.
Okay. Here's a saying that in the South of Uganda, segregated.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we had a segregated high school. Okay, and all right, at that time, all right, whites and blacks did not go to the same school. But to make it even more segregated, okay, because my father was in the Army, they had, let's see, the town of Columbus would not pick up servicemen's children from Fort Benning. So there was buses that the Army picked up the kids and brought them into town. And segregation was carried out even further. You had the first two buses were for the officers' children, the boys in one, the girls in another, and the last two buses were for the enlisted men's children, boys in one, girls in another. So we were segregated even further.
Mm.
And but anyway, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent like that, but anyway, that's where I think I had my, oh, I don't know, my first experience as far as knowing black people or talking to them or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Did, when you had, after you had been working on a frame, do you know about how long it was before you moved into the other work that you did?
I mean when I moved over to working sort of by myself?
Uh-huh.
I guess maybe about a couple of months. Something like that. It was sort of like I'd stayed in this other section and knew all those steps, and then just sort of, well, all right, come on over here. I want you to work at this table now today.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of those things, and I think about a two-month period mm-hmm. it took me.
Did it take long to learn how to do the operations?
No, they were more or less, they were simple. I think it took a little bit longer when to learn how to correct things so that if one of these pieces came through and it had a crack in it, how do you take care of that? Because all this stuff, it was a bad crack, yes, it was thrown up, but a little tiny crack, it was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it took you a little while to figure out, well, that's a little small crack, so I can fix it this way. Then you painted over it, or just no little things that you had to take care of as it went along.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just, you know, it was things you picked up as you worked, and it, yeah, I could say it would take a little while.
Mm-hmm. Did, I was interested in you talking about talking to people at work, because before you talked about being shy, had you overcome your shyness by then, or did that happen just there at the plant?
That happened just at the plant, because people were very friendly, and I could get over my shyness a lot easier. I really didn't get over my shyness completely until I got into, well, I think it was Seattle University.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess that was, too, about that time, because it was when I came back to Seattle University after that job. If I knew people real well, I had no problem talking.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as initiating anything, I was a total flop on that.
Mm-hmm.
And getting over my shyness, that came through some conversations I had with a priest that taught sociology. And that was after I left that job, and we went back, let's see, it was after we went back up north.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another subject.
Later on. Okay. Now, where in the plant did your mother live?
She was in the main building, and she was in the area where all the drill presses were.
Mm-hmm.
So she was sort of, I think, near a machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sort of things she worked on, I had no idea. Once in a while, I could walk over there, you know, and see her,
mm-hmm.
and but I didn't do that too often, because
mm-hmm.
then that meant then I was away from my position, and that just didn't look too good.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear from her what it was she was doing in Seattle when she was at Boeing? Did she ever talk to you about?
Well,
the job there?
I think, let's see now, at one time she had a secretarial position, and then another time she worked on machines also, and I think that's where she had the drill press experience.
Mm-hmm. So she had worked in both in clerical and then out on the
right,
line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, before we went down, we came down to Redondo Beach, okay, she had worked there when I was in high school, and it seemed to me she worked there when we moved back again, too. But I think she had experience, you know, along both lines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did, so you were both working the same shift, though?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was that, which shift was that?
That was the day shift.
Uh-huh.
From the morning to the evening.
Uh-huh.
Afternoon, rather.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did they have other shifts, though?
Yeah, they had swing shift and they had a graveyard shift.
Mm-hmm. So what would a typical day be like when you were there?
Seemed to me I was like working from about 8 till about maybe 4, 5 o'clock. And I did that for a few months until something came through and they made me quit working the 8 hours because I had to have a special work permit, something like that, because it seemed like California had laws on, you know, I guess if you're under 18, you couldn't work a full 8-hour shift. And I was like, they considered me like I had just gotten out of school. In other words, I was a high school student still. And I tried to explain, yes, but I had graduated, but I was not still old enough to work, you know, the full shift. Mm-hmm. So I would quit about 3, and I'd have to catch a bus and come home. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like I wouldn't be home maybe a few minutes, then she would come home. Because, you know, by the time you transferred and all that sort of stuff and waited for buses to come on, it was totally ridiculous. I might as well just stayed and waited for her, I guess. But I guess I felt like taking the bus gave me something to do in that time instead of standing around because I was waiting. I was taking bus rides and between when I quit and when she came home. So that's what I did in my spare time when I was concerned. It really irritated me because I enjoyed the work and I didn't feel tired. I couldn't understand why did I have to have a work permit.